Reading from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. John 12:20-33. Among those who went up to worship the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honour. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I do? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I've come into this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said it was like thunder. Others said, an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered, This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the heaven, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of you this week might have heard of the death of Murray Walker, age 97. At that grand age, there'd be a lot of people who remember his voice, mimicked by countless impersonators, comedians, and schoolchildren alike. He was so passionate about motorsport, wasn't he? His delivery was exciting, it was unique, and sometimes full of priceless clangers. And as he was getting it so wrong, he was actually getting it so right. He was saying it's okay to be a bit muddled, and actually he was loved for that by many people. He wasn't quite out of reach, but he was very clever. He wasn't too slick or aloof, but he was very down to earth. He was endearing and compelling. Everybody knew his voice. And on that note, I wonder, have you ever imagined what Jesus' voice would have sounded like? What do you think? Timid? Overbearing? Bland? I don't think so. Probably really human, exciting, passionate, and compelling. There was something about his voice, and there was something about that man. And it is the something that the people of his day, including the Greeks, i.e. all those who weren't Jews, They found it compelling and intriguing. They wanted to see Jesus. It was the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that was working through him in the name of God the Father, because he knew beyond doubt that this was so, and it worked so powerfully. And it was because that Jesus had this conviction that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to preach the good news of social justice and fair living and peace and love and all those heartwarming qualities are infectious. They're inviting. It was the Spirit of conversation that caught their heart back then, and the Spirit of our conversation, all of us who carry the name of Jesus on our hearts and in our minds and in what we do, that people sometimes find compelling within ourselves today as we quietly go about proclaiming God's love. And actually, we don't have to shout it from the rooftop. Sometimes we might want to, and we can. But it's in the way that we do what we do in our daily lives. It's about the spirit of the words, the intention of the action, the presence. So be bold and confident in that. God has gone in first and is waiting for us to connect with the people in our lives who might be longing for their own connection. So picture the Greeks back then listening to this amazing man who then proceeds to speak and enter into a meditation about plants and seeds, servants and masters, life and death. And it is to that very sensitive and somewhat painful theme, life and death, that we are invited to enter into today in the light of us walking into Passion Tide, where historically and today, people of faith pondered and prayed around the impending passion of Christ, the spilling of his blood, just like the sacrificial lamb that symbolized freedom for the Israelites back when Moses led them to freedom from Egypt, where the agony and justice and darkness of all that is most very broken in the nature of humanity is played out. And as well as this theme of the Lord's Passion, we have a theme today as we acknowledge the National Day of Reflection, of reflecting on life, death and dying, especially during this traumatic year of lockdown, where people were apart from their loved ones in their most need, where people couldn't comfort and be comforted in their dying and grieving, and where families just couldn't come together in that most natural yet most painful act of grieving. The humanly physical and emotional fallout that comes with loving someone so much and having to live without them, that is bad enough in itself. But not to have that last rite of passage together as they journey on is beyond the comprehension of some who haven't experienced that, but who nevertheless have compassion and understand full well the sorrow of these days in their own experiences, in their own times. And together today we are remembering and acknowledging the sorrow of these moments, of these days, for our fellow travellers on this bewildering pandemic road. And we were also acknowledging and honour Jesus on this Passion Tide path that we have walked with him many times, but with each step that we take enters us into a whole new experience of understanding the depth of our need for a saviour, in our longing to be saved from, I suggest, a restless, aimless world that loses sight of love and justice and kindness all too often as we try to take care of ourselves and at the expense of other people. In both of these expressions of pain and suffering, we enter into the dark and we try and find ways of reaching for the light. And sometimes that seems the most of impossible of tasks to achieve. I remember when I was a little girl, being so frightened of dying, my dad used to come and sit with me on my bed and he tried to comfort me. One of my insecurities, and I know that is what it was now, was the fact that nobody, not my mum or my dad or teacher or even a policeman, could help me when I died. They would never be able to stop that happening. No one could help me. No one could save me from that, from having to go there, wherever there was, if there even was such a place. And for a 10-year-old, that was a very dark place. No light and hope there. And this went on for a lot of years. And then the way that this deep fear played out changed. It took on a different slant and shape. It made its way out of the dreams and into everyday life, disguised but still there, frightened. This primal fear remained the foundational fear of all that I was seeking in the years that followed. Someone or something that could fill the hole inside that was missing. A completeness in daily life that was missing. That sense of aimlessness and lack of wholeness was always with me until one amazingly grace-filled day when it all changed and God entered my heart in a way I could experience and led me on the path to come to know Jesus and through him the Holy Spirit that could help me through my life to find peace even when things were really tricky. I wonder if you might be recognizing this feeling, perhaps played out in a different way from you, but nevertheless the sense of confusion as to what we're all actually doing here sometimes. But before we get too deep, let's turn the corner, let's head home. Home to the light that can shine even in the darkest times. The light of the world that we believe comes from wanting to know, to spend time with and follow Jesus. The light to lighten the Gentiles, the world and to be our glory, our saviour, our friend, who will build us and hold us in the dark and will protect us and allow us to go into the dark, trusting that somewhere this will be a valley experience that will take us to the other side, from the dark to the light. But my, how dark before the dawn it is sometimes, isn't it? Very truly I tell you, says Jesus, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honour. And there, I suggest, lies the answer. Whatever our grain of wheat life might be, for better or for worse, in faith or fear, Jesus tells us that it needs to fall into the earth to die in order for it to flourish and grow. We need to lose the worldly trappings and fears and follow him, because through his spirit that we will be held, and it will be held by the spirit that enters our hearts as we follow. There will be the pathway to the Father, our Creator, our homeland, our mother, our peace. No matter what the circumstances here, we will get through and get there in the end. And that line from that great exotic Marigold Hotel, Jane Judy Dench, it will be all right in the end, and if it's not all right, it's not the end. How hopeful is that? Jesus was a good storyteller. He could take the most difficult of subjects and make sense of it by turning around. And that's the point I want to make of that little girl's fear all those years ago. She was asking to be saved from having to go to make a home in a place that, unbeknown to her, actually was her home. She was asking to be able to stay here in this earthly world forever, in a place that actually wasn't her homeland. She was a sojourner, a visitor, a traveller. It was part of a homeward bound journey towards God's love and light that is ours on earth when we allow the wheat of our lives to fall and die and rise again to new life of true love and true light. And that's exactly what happened with those Greek people that wanted to see Jesus. As soon as they wanted to see Jesus, he was glorified. It was time. He knew it was time now. My time had come. And for us, when we see, when our eyes are open, Jesus is glorified in a way that we will understand him, but only when we seek him first. To all of us who are grappling with our faith, and to all of us who are grappling with the sorrow of how things have been this past year and before for some of us, especially for the dying and bereaved of this time, my heart goes out to you truly. And in the spirit of hope, I would like to leave you with a little reflection from one of my favourite preachers, Barbara Brown Taylor, who offers us this. When the time comes, you can live small or you can live large. You can hang on to the grain or you can gamble it all for love. When you find you wake from the dream of falling to find actually it's not a dream, you can actually choose to open your hands along with your battered heart, which is how to discover the front edge of this good news of life. Not the life after falling, but the life in the falling. All the life you'd missed if you had clung to the old one you had without falling into that darkness to come out into the light of the world. And if you can trust that, you can also trust this. Do not be afraid. God will truly know what to do with you next. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, you say, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. May the grains of our lives bear much fruit in their falling and rising, in your name and in your love. Amen.